This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Many of us are familiar with the images of the Whirling Dervishes of Turkey, but it's perhaps less known that the Whirling Dervishes are a part of the Mevlevi order, which was actually founded in the 13th century by the Persian poet Rumi, who's also called Mevlana in Turkey. So the practice of the Whirling Dervishes is actually a coming together of poetry, music, movement, and worship. Earlier this week, some of us in Kuala Lumpur had the opportunity to actually watch a Whirling Dervish performance from the Turkish city of Konya, where the Mevlevi order originated. And today is also World Poetry Day, so it seems like the perfect time to learn more about this ancient practice that was founded by one of the most revered poets in history. Joining me is Dr. Selim Yücel Gülek, Head of Foreign Relations for the Konya Metropolitan Municipality in Turkey. And how are you today, Dr. Selim?
Alhamdulillah, we're fine.
So maybe we can start off with, I think the Whirling Dervishes, they're an image that are usually associated with Turkish culture. It's used a lot in tourism ads. But most people aren't really very familiar with the significance and the history behind the practice. Could you explain what the Whirling Dervish practice actually is?
The history goes back till 13th century. In 13th century, Mevlana lived in Turkey, in Konya city. First, let's start with the brief history of Konya and then the history of the Mevlana order.
Sure. Konya is basically where the Whirling Dervish practice started,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. That's right. That's right. Today, Konya is one of the biggest city of Turkey, 2.5 million people. The history of Konya is very old, nearly 10,000 years passed from the establishment of the city. We have a UNESCO historical heritage called Çatalhöyük, where almost 9,500 years ago, human being established a city in the first time. And many civilizations passed in the history of Konya. In the 13th century, Turkish tribes came and conquered Konya and established the capital city of Seljuk Empire there. And when they gained power, the sultans of Seljuk Empire invited many scholars from different parts of the world. Also, Celaleddin Rumi, who born in Belh, in the border of Afghanistan, as you know, and Sultan Alaaddin of Seljuk Empire invited him and his father. They moved from Belh, came to Mecca. After their pilgrimage, they arrived to Turkey. And at the end, they settled in Konya. And Mevlana established his order based in Konya. Mevlana called as the man of love. His basic belief starts from the creation of human being. According to Islamic belief, the believing way of Sufism, first God was himself alone and there were no creation at all. In time being, God desired to make himself known by someone else. And he created the Nur, the spiritual light of Prophet Muhammad. And he loved that creation a lot. And then he created any other things from that creation, from the Nur of Muhammad. That's why Mevlana sees a piece at every creation apart from the Muhammad himself. That's why his love derived originated from that point. So God created the Nur of Muhammad, and then Hilal, his Nur, and decide to create all other creatures. And he just gave one order, said Kun. Kun means be. So it reflects by the instrument of Kudum in Sema ceremony. So Sema ceremony starts with the sound of Kudum, a kind of drum. It says Kun. So everything starts with that order. And then all spirits of the human being were created. All kind of materials were created after that order. And then Subhanahu wa Ta'ala called all spirits all together and asked them, am I your God? And all of them answered that, yes, you are our God. Then they, all spirits, start living together with angels. Angels were doing zikr, a kind of ceremony with rhythm. And all spirits listen that rhythm for a long and long time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to create Adam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Adam to the heaven and also created Hawa, Eve. And they lived together in heaven. So the heaven was the motherland of Adam and Eve. So they lived there until they did sin by the deceive of the shaitan. So after this sin, Adam and Eve dropped on the earth. So they departed from their motherland to abroad. So this world is an abroad for the Adam and Eve. And Adam cried more than 300 years, it was said, because he missed his motherland. He missed the joyful life of there. And he missed the test of being together, all angels, their rhythms, their hymnesses. So, and he asked his forgiveness. Then when he was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked that whether he can hear the sounds of the angels again. And he wants to be part of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow him to hear the sound of angels again. Then he said that he wants to practice it on the earth, what he saw in the heaven. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring Beyt-i Ma'mur, we call. It's a building in the heaven where the angels were just spinning around of that house. So that Beyt-i Ma'mur was brought to the just a place of the Kaaba in Mecca, as you know. Then Adam and Eve started spinning around him, whirling around that Beyt-i Ma'mur, and they became happy because they started at the end of practicing what they have seen in the heaven. So that Beyt-i Ma'mur was stayed on the earth until the Noah flood. Before the flood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take Beyt-i Ma'mur again back to the heaven. And just after the flood, Prophet Abraham established the Kaaba as a building on the just place of the Beyt-i Ma'mur. And then the history of the pilgrimage started. If you remember the scenery of the pilgrimage around Kaaba, all Muslims just spinning around the Kaaba. So this spinning is very much important because if you go and see the smallest part of the any items, if you put them under the electronic microscope, you will see in the atom there is electrons, protons, and neutrons always spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Even the smallest part of the stone, you can see these movements. So all galaxies, all skies, anything, anyway, just revolving, just spinning around one center. That one center reflects the existence of God. And just every creature is just spinning and praying to him. So when you watch the whirling dervishes, you can see the imitation of the spinning itself. So also there is sounds in skies, in atoms, in everything. Every creature in a rhythm with a sound, just repeating the name of God on its own way. So when Mevlevis do the Sema with the musicians, they just remember the history of human being, the history of spirit, the history of the angels, what they are doing on the skies, on the heaven. So when they spin, they concentrate themselves spiritually. And they assume that they are establishing connection with the main order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they train themselves with this sema, we say, this spinning.
The whirling dervishes is part of the Mevlevi sema ceremony, as you just said.
Yes.
Could you explain what does that ceremony involve?
So sema ceremony has two parts. One is musician side, the other one is performers. Okay? But both we call dervish, dervishans. In Mevlevi order, anyone wants to be part of it, first they come to the lodge of Mevlevi and meet one of the elder from the lodge. The first question from the master to the newcomer, that is this: do you love anything? And they look at the answer. If he says that, I'm not sure, I don't know, cannot give any concrete answer, they will say that, you are not eligible to be in. But if newcomer give answer that, yes, I love this flower, or I love this woman, or I love this tree, something, they say, you are qualified to be coming because you know how to love. So how to love is important. If someone knows how to love something, that means that he can learn the divine law. And that newcomer was invited to come in. So for 3 days, newcomer was stayed in the kitchen of the lodge, 3 days. So they sit, he sit and just look at what's going around. Within these 3 days, they have to be patient with waiting silently. If he qualifies within these 3 days, he was allowed to get training, which goes 1,001 day, more than 3 years.
Wow.
So within these 3 years, there were different occupations within the lodge, like cleaning, like helping for the kitchen, like different beauty arts he can just train, like marbling or like calligraphy, different beauty arts he can train. When he finished this 1,001 day successfully, then he start he was start calling as Mevlevi. Then he was allowed to participate the whirling dervishes ceremony as a musician or as performers.
And how do they learn to perform the art of the whirling dervish?
It is a training style, as you know. At the beginning, when newcomer starts to learning how to turn, how to spin, his head will be swamped.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. And will be fall down. But in time being, they are learning. They are just putting one leg without any movement. And with the other one, they are starting turning. But after getting training and training, they are their bodies getting, they get used to it.
It is World Poetry Day today, and I'm speaking to Dr. Selim Yücel Gulek, Head of Foreign Relations for the city of Konya in Turkey, about how the whirling dervishes are related to the philosophy of the great poet Rumi. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. It is World Poetry Day today, and we're talking about how the revered poet Rumi founded the Whirling Dervish Order in Turkey. Rumi is also referred to as Mevlana in Turkey. And with me today is Dr. Selim Yücel Gulek, Head of Foreign Relations for the city of Konya, who was in town for a Whirling Dervish performance in KL earlier this week. Dr. Selim, the whirling dervish practice was declared to be a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity by UNESCO in 2008. So what kind of significance does the practice have within Turkish culture?
It is not only within the Turkish culture. I guess this Sema ceremony, even Indian, has Mevlevis in their countries. They do perform of whirling. They have dervishes. All over the world, if we talk about, especially for the Mevlevis, more than 60 countries, there are 170 Mevlevi lodges, and there are many followers following of him. So Mevlana Celaleddin Rumi is important because of his masterpiece, book
of course,
of Matnavi, yes. As you know. So its work is very famous in every continent and translated in almost every languages and printed. Because of his divine law issue, because he see in every creature the love, because everything comes, everything was created from the God. So the craftsman is the same. So when he look at anything, any human, without what he believes, without what is it, it is not important for him, because through that masterpiece, he see the master. So this basic idea, I guess, valued by UNESCO and designated him and his orders is whirling dervishes as a world heritage.
So Rumi is essentially considered to be the founder of the Mevlevi order, am I correct?
That's right.
And what is the connection between his poetry and the ritual and the practice of the whirling dervish?
You know, he in his old poetries, he's mentioning about the divine law, and he is mentioning about how a human being is able to make sins, and how he become able to be forgiven if he correct his way. And also in the ceremony of whirling dervishes, as I told before, it is a trial to make connection with the divine law. So when they do Sema, they concentrate themselves. They remember what they did until that time. if they did good things, they say, okay, I did very nice thing and I am eligible to establish good connection with the God. If they think that they did sin, then they will think that, oh, this is a good chance to ask for to be forgiven. So Sema is something like cleansing of the spirit for themselves.
A cleansing of the spirit.
This is a good occasion for the dervishes to just check themselves, what they did and what they have to do.
Mm. Is poetry used in the Sema ceremony?
Yes, of course. When musicians start performing their music, within that music, they use the poetry of the Mevlana in it as the song.
And what is the connection between the city of Konya and the Mevlevi order?
So, as I told before, Mevlana came to Konya in 13th century and stayed there until he died. And his tomb is in Konya, as you know. Mevlana Rumi, the founding father of Ottoman Empire, according to Turkish people, because he gave the basic philosophy for Turkish people, how to act, how to establish a country in a foreign land. For Turkish people, at that time, Turkey was the foreign land, was the land of East Roman Empire. So Mevlana told to Turkish people, you can deal with any person, even he is not Muslim, even he is a non-believer, doesn't matter. As a human being, we are brothers and sisters. So if you act through them kindly, gently, then you will earn their hearts. So no need to fight to establish a land, even in a foreign country. Mm. So that's why Mevlana assumed as the founding father of the Ottoman Empire. Mm-hmm. During Ottoman Empire's period, that was 600 years, all Ottoman sultans showed great respect to Mevlana. And they protect the Mevlevi order. They protect the whirling dervishes. They protect the musicians of Mevlevis. And it also was the same for the Turkish Republic. During whole Turkish Republic, Mevlevis were protected by the government, by the politicians. Even today, we are having special ceremonies in December from 7 to 17 for the commemoration of the Mevlana. And for 17th night of this ceremonies, always President of Turkey had been participated.
But despite that, I think the Mevlevi order does have a slightly complicated history, I think, within Turkish politics, because I believe it was in 1925 that the order was banned. But then in the 50s, it was partially changed. The Mevlevi order is still not fully recognized.
Okay. After the collapse of Ottoman Empire, new state were established, as you know, after First World War. So for establishing new state, not only the Mevlevi orders, any kind of religious sects was banned by the new government for a while. But in reality, Mevlevis get great tolerance from the government. Officially, it was banned, but practically, it was alive and practiced by Turkish people. So that's why today, even banning law is out there, but practice are still going on.
And in Konya, where, you know, the Mevlevi order started, what are some of the ways in which you are preserving and encouraging this art form?
Okay, in Turkey, we established Mevlana Culture Center. In the center, weekly, we are having whirling dervishes ceremonies in Konya. So the Konya is the base of Mevlana, a base of Mevlevi lodges. As I told you, there are more than 170 lodges around the world, but center is the Konya. That's why every Mevlevis visit Konya. Per year, the tomb of Mevlana was visited by 3 million people, more than 3 million people. So for preserving of it as Konya city, we are spending great energy on translating of his works. We have translated Matnavi to 29 languages, and we printed all. And we are going to complete it 50 languages, which almost will cover the 99% of the world population. And also anyone can reach those translations through mobile applications. So, and also we are having two times big festivals. As I told before, the first one is September, on December, and the other one in May. In May, it was the date of Mevlana and his family came to Konya.
I see.
So two big festivals we are festivating related with Rumi.
And tell me a little bit about the music that is used in the Sema ritual. Mm-hmm. What kind of music? What are the instruments that they play?
There are several instruments. The first one is ney, a reed. So its sound symbolizes the day of heaven. And when Adam dropped to the earth, he missed the atmosphere, the sounds of the heaven, the sounds of the angel. So the reed is symbolized that, he was missing the heaven. This earth is a temporary place. So anyway, we have to leave here. But with the death, we are going to reach our homeland. So according to Mevlana, the death is not the end of life. It is the beginning of real life. That's why we do a festival at his death day.
I see.
So the reed is symbolized of that. The kudum, the drum, twin drum we have, symbolize of the creation of the whole spirits when God ordered be. And everything happened from that order. And also we have oud, we have kanun, special Turkish musical instruments. Those are symbolizes different sounds of a different part of skies. So all level of skies has different sounds. And sometimes they get together, mix each other. Sometimes they do soul, performance. Each of them has different meanings and symbolize different part of the history of humanity.
Right. And the musicians also train in the Mevlevi Lodge together with the dancers?
Yes, that's right. That's right. According to his skill, maybe he was so talented with sound, then he sings song. Mm. Maybe he was so much skilled with reed. He is becoming the artist of reed. During their training, they are divided in which way they are going to go on.
Right. And, you know, the world is changing very fast. People are more modern. There's a lot of different entertainment, a lot of different distractions. Is it difficult to preserve a ritual or a practice like the whirling dervishes?
I guess no, because it continues since 800 years. And as I try to explain, it reflects the origin of human history. So this is an unshakable reality for human being, which never be changed by any kind of modernist or any kind of modern instruments. So even human being can discover many how do you say, modern instruments, modern way of life or thinking, they have to go to origin at the end. So this whirling dervishes is a reflection from the main origin of humanity, and nobody will be able to stop it, I guess.
And do young people still find themselves attracted to want to take up this practice and to join the order?
Sure. They are coming. They are trying to learn. Even youngs from all over the world are coming to Konya, and they are saying that they desire to learn how to be a performer, how to be a musician. Even our whirling dervishes groups were invited from different parts of the world. This time we are here in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. Next month we are going to go to Vietnam. In May we are going to be in Japan. Our friends right now, another group is in Pakistan doing their performers. So we are having desires from all over the world, having invitation from all over the world.
Mm. And is it, as it becomes more popular, especially to the rest of the world, and especially when it's used in things like tourism or for performance, is there a risk that the original significance, the spiritual meaning, is sometimes lost?
Yeah, you're right. We are aware of that difficulty. But as Konya, we are trying to put some training methodology and trying to push hotels or any other companies which want to use it as a tourism instrument, that you have to pay attention on this methodology or on these belief and ideas, and it we are pushing them to give detailed information about the audience before the performance. What does it mean? What kind of meaning it has? For example, our dervishes has long hat, wearing a black coat, clocks, and wearing a white one piece dress. So we are telling them that, oh, this long hat symbolizes the tombstone. So every dervish must first realize the existence of death.
Mm.
Death is not the end. It is a start for a new life, for a real life. Or the black coat means our ego. So we have to, when we move it off, then our spirit will be free with white color symbolize this spirit. So the spinning is, as I explained, establishing connection with the real life in the hereafter.
Mm.
So with spinning, if you think about water, when water spins, it turns around, but in the center, it deepened. And that deepening is just stable. So with spiritually, when dervish is spinning, spiritually he was establishing connection with the divine law. So those kind of things we are asking to those companies or hotels to give explanation. So we are going to produce a manual for that.
And so from an audience perspective, especially someone who may not be from this culture, who may not necessarily understand the Sufi beliefs, what should we keep in mind when we're watching a whirling dervish performance?
Yeah, first, better to keep silent when you watch it, and try to understand the real meaning of the movement. For example, one performer open his right hand to the sky, the other one is to the earth. This means that we got everything from God and share with the others. Richness, for example, we received from God. Richness, we are not receiving just only by our trials. It's a gift from the God. So we shouldn't keep it only for ourselves. We are not to be egoist. We need to share with others. Even love we got from the God, and we have to share it with other creatures. So this kind of meaning, even his audience is not Muslim, if he understand that there are a reflection of the philosophy, watching of Whirling Dervishes will be much more enjoyable.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Selim.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I've been speaking to Dr. Selim Yücel Gülek, Head of Foreign Relations for the Konya Metropolitan Municipality in Turkey, about the ancient practice of the whirling dervishes and how their roots go all the way back to the 13th century Persian poet Rumi. It is, of course, World Poetry Day today, and so I'll leave you with a few lines from Rumi himself. In the sea of love, I melt like salt. Faith, doubt, they both dissolve. A star is opening in my heart. The worlds turn in it. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.